And that leads us into our guest, our good friend Mark Medina, who covered the Warriors for a long time. He covered the Lakers before that. In fact, he's going to be at the Lakers-Clippers game because now he's a national writer for USA Today. Mark, happy holidays. Thanks for being on the show. And, you know, as I read that little commercial for the Warriors, since they've won two games in a row, it makes this a whole lot more fun with Harden coming in, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, you can look at the Lakers have lost three in a row and the Clippers have lost two and three. Maybe the Warriors are the better team right now, huh?
I wouldn't go that far, Mark, but hey, you're the national guy. So they got a two-game winning streak. That's the first time that these young guys have done it. And while there have been, I never thought I would be okay with the Warriors using the phrase moral victories, but you look at the roster they have, my God, you got to give them a few of those. You got to do something to make them feel like they're progressing in a certain direction. And that's what two wins in a row does more than anything. It's like, yeah, fellas, I know these teams that you've just beat are not so great, but it proves if you follow this plan, if you put the work in, the results will eventually come.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And that's a big reason why when you talk to NBA coaches, including Steve Kerr, they downplay the whole notion of tanking. I mean, number one, tanking is more of kind of an organizational philosophy where you're setting up a team to fail, and coaches and players don't think that because they're trying to win and protect their job. But number two, you know, on rebuilding teams, even if you want to have good lottery odds, you need to have a sprinkle of feel-good moments and small victories, whether it's individual performances or big wins, because it really helps the buy-in process and it helps soften the frustration that you get through a losing season. So, you know, Warrior fans might instinctually think, oh, this is bad. Like, what is this going to mean for the lottery? Like, big picture, the losses are going to always pile up. Yeah. The odds are going to be fine. So kind of embrace these small moments of joy wherever you can.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, even in the lottery, you could end up with Patrick O'Brien or Telus Frank. I mean, it's not like there's, you know, Patrick Ewing waiting for them like they should have had in 85. But one of the reasons the Warriors have won these last few games is the fact that D'Angelo Russell is scoring a lot of points. And I was very happy with the acquisition. I didn't think the Warriors would have an off season where they'd be able to get a guy like that. And I know some people were upset with the financial commitment, but he's so young. And I know that when he plays with Steph, it's not the ideal plus-minus hockey stat way to go. But that we keep hearing D'Lo as a guy that could move. I think the Warriors have big plans for D'Lo, or do you think this is fluid?
I think it's fluid, and I think that the Warriors made the move not necessarily with the motive of, hey, this is a guy that we're going to build our team around, but they also didn't make the move under the guise of, hey, we're just going to get this guy so we can trade him. I think that they were really looking at it, that this gives them a lot of flexibility both with the roster construction that they have and for the future. And what I mean by that is the Klay Thompson injury was a huge game changer in what the Warriors decided to do in the offseason, where all of a sudden they need some backcourt help, some secondary scoring to relieve some of the burden on Steph Curry. And so that's where the thought process went in to gain D'Angelo. But I think down the line, there's no way that he's going to get traded before the trade deadline because, number one, they're hard cap, but number two, the Warriors do want to see how he looks with Steph and also a chance to enhance his value even more. So he's certainly going to be a possible trade candidate this offseason, but I think that there's a difference between looking at that in the offseason versus the trade deadline. Like, they want to see how well he can develop so that they can get clarity of, you know, kind of either scenario.
Hey, Mark, when you've got a team like the Warriors, I think they entered the season, they had 9 players, 23 and younger. It gives fans who had the superstars to follow from the previous few years. Now they've kind of, you've got this motley crew, and inevitably, if you're a big fan, you're gonna find yourself gravitating towards one or two or three of those younger guys. One of those guys for me, absolutely, is Marquese Chris. I can't believe how young the guy still is, how athletic he is. I don't know what went on at the previous stops, but I know his contract comes guaranteed on in January, I believe, and I'll be really bummed if they don't make it guaranteed. I think this guy's part of their future.
Yeah, I think that the Warriors are really impressed with what they've gotten, and part of it is that they're not surprised. Like, they felt that he kind of had a raw deal in Phoenix, and they thought that his athleticism is something that's off the charts. I think that there is, I think, a next step for them. So they want to get more consistency out of him compared to some of the other young guys. It seems like someone like Alec Burke and Glenn Robinson, like, they're not going to blow you away, but for the most part, they know what they're going to get on a night-to-night basis, where with Marquise, it's not as much of a certainty. But no doubt, they've been really intrigued with him. And, you know, that caused them to make a very tough decision in their mind of waiving Alphonso McKinney, because they thought that they were going to need to have him to get some wing depth, and they wanted to develop him into a young player. But Marquise Chris just kind of blew it out of the water, and the fact that there was so much need at the center spot with some of the injuries with Willie Cauley-Stein and Kevon Looney, that it was someone that they felt like they couldn't afford to let go.
Willie Cauley-Stein has been a guy that, you know, I was very excited that the Warriors could get him for the price that he had, and we heard from people in Sacramento that were kind of like, well, yeah, you can have him. They weren't heartbroken over it, but I kind of thought, you know, this would maybe rejuvenate his career. But there have been times where it seems like that, you know, that abject lethargy has crept back. And yet, it was, you know, it was about 10 days ago, he had a game where he scored in double digits. He had 6 steals, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists. Now, that was against the Kings, so you could say maybe he was extra fired up. But what do you think about Cauley-Stein and the way he has played here in the first half?
Well, I think it's been up and down, and I think a lot of it has to do with his injury, but also I think that this really captures kind of the uncertainty of what he means moving forward. Now, he kind of has a little bit more leverage in his future with the Warriors because he has a player option, and maybe he decides he's going to exercise doing that. But if he's going to do that, the Warriors might wind up, you know, wanting to dangle that as part of a package because it's an expiring contract. But I think when you're looking at Willie Cauley-Stein, they like him, but there's also been an incomplete picture because I think that they were envisioning originally that there's going to be a lot of pick-and-roll action with him and Steph Curry. And now that you know, Steph has been out, there's been kind of a little bit of a lack of clarity on how he fits in there. And honestly, this isn't even just a Willie Cauley-Stein component. This is kind of the entire team. That is one of the many reasons why the Warriors want to have Steph Curry back at some point this season. Like, you might think it's absurd, why try to get him back, you know, just save him for next year and improve the lottery odds. But when the Warriors are evaluating all these guys, they're trying to get as much clarity on what it ultimately means with playing with the other All-Stars and with how they would fit as a 10th, 11th, 12th guy off the bench. Because right now, you know, they're getting a lot more playing time than they would be under normal circumstances next season.
Oh, Mark, a lot of times people look at the situation and say, you know, don't let any of these guys come back for fear of hurting themselves worse. But a lot of times when the star comes back late in the lost season, it's for his head as much as anything. It's so that the first time he steps on the court isn't next year's preseason opener and he has no idea how his body's going to respond. He's been in the fire. He's been in a regular season. Never mind a preseason. He's been in a regular season game late this season when you presume some of the teams that he's playing are going to be going all out. I think it's important for these guys individually, mentally, to know that they're okay. And I think Steph's got plans on playing in the Olympics as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, for sure. So does Klay Thompson. But, I mean, I completely agree with your point. But to be clear, it's not like the Warriors are going to be rushing
Right.
Steph back just for the sake of it. Like, if their health is compromised, they're going to, you know, err on the side of health. But I think to your larger point, you hit it on the head, and it kind of reminds me of, you know, remember when Paul George had his injury with Team USA in, I believe it was 2014, and he missed all but, I think, the next, all but 9 games the following year, and that was the same argument. Why come back with Indiana? And he has talked about how much that helped kind of build habits and comfort level heading into the next season. And I imagine that would do the same thing for Steph and for his teammates. Like, it might feel weird to say this, but for those who are so concerned about the lottery odds, there might be a scenario that when Steph comes back, maybe they're even worse because he's still trying to get his rhythm. His shot's not the way it's used to be. all the young guys who are already struggling to begin with are all of a sudden trying to figure out how to play with Steph. So that might result in more losses anyway. So like that whole concern of what it means for the lottery, I think is really overstated, because in the big picture, like they haven't had problems getting losses. Like all they have to do is play a game and get forth the effort, and usually that's the outcome, right? So everything else is all about trying to develop guys, then get clarity on, you know, who plays well with whom and all that. And that's where the importance of having Steph come back, if he's healthy, goes into play.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost couched like the struggle to get losses. How are we going to do it? How are we going to get these losses? You know, it's interesting, too. Kai Bowman, the undrafted point guard out of BC, got called up last night, and he went down in the G League. And it's funny, Mark, I heard somebody mention in an article that he was kind of ruining the G League's fantasy leagues, and I had no idea it was fantasy leagues for G League players, but that's kind of cool that they have it. But they have to kind of they have to kind of caress this, because, you know, it's a two-way, and they don't want to use it all up, spend all their money in one go, right?
Yeah, for sure. But I think there is some wiggle room. Like, they want to have Ty Bowman on the regular season roster, and because of that, there might be a chance that the Warriors trade or the moves before the trade deadline so that they have the financial room to do that, so they're not as hard capped. But at the end of the day, like, even if he is still on a two-way contract, once the Warriors reach the 45-day limit, they still have his rights to be with them the rest of the season. He just can't be with the pro team. So there's kind of a calculus to that where, you know, at some point maybe it doesn't really matter as much if he's not with the pro team and playing, so long as he's just getting reps under the same organization. But I think looking into next season, he's definitely going to be on the regular season roster.
There he is. Mark Medina covers the NBA like no one else. Read him in USA Today, and also follow him on Twitter. As always, Mark G_Medina.